Hi there, and welcome to Let's Slow Down, a podcast for all of you who feel tired and stressed from this overwhelming world. Here we'll have fun, inspiring conversations about living life on our own terms and explore ways to ease the pace of our modern world, because life really is good when you're relaxed enough to be present for it. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Stolting, and I welcome you to this space where I hope to inspire you to slow down, because life is too short to let it go by in a blur. So take a deep breath, relax, and enjoy the show. Enter my holiday giveaway to win a copy of A Chic and Simple Christmas by Fiona Ferris. Simply write a review or share the podcast on social media and DM or email me a screenshot. Details in today's show notes. Happy holidays and thanks for listening.
Our guest today is Fiona Ferris, author of the Chic and Simple book series, where she writes about living a simple, beautiful, successful life without having to spend a lot of money. She adores self-development, as do I, and loves to cultivate her own growth in a fun and feminine way. Fiona lives with her husband, two rescue cats, and two rescue dogs in sunny Hawke's Bay on the east coast of New Zealand. It's her second time on the Let's Slow Down podcast, and she is here to talk about the holidays with us and more. And we'll talk about her book, A Chic and Simple Christmas. So welcome back to the podcast, Fiona.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you for having me. Loving being here with you. I had such a nice time last time. A good little chat. And yeah, just so happy to be here and hello to everybody.
Oh, well, we're happy to have you. And I should mention that the last time you were here, I will link that episode in the show notes too, if people want to go back, if they haven't gotten to hear it or if they want to re-listen. The listeners loved your podcast and it was one of the most listened to episodes so far for Let's Slow Down.
So it's incredible.
Everyone's going to be thrilled that you're back. I love that in your bio, this is just a side note here, all four of your fur kids are rescues and that you mentioned that. Our two dogs are our rescues as well. And they're just the best. Yeah. I think they're just the best and make life so much better.
Yeah. I just can't do the ball pet thing. It's just me. I know lots of people do and they have specific needs, but
sure.
I'm too much of a, I don't know, soft heart that it's like, oh, which, when I got my first cat, which cat needs the home most? And they said, oh, this one here, it doesn't really like other cats and I'll take her.
When we rescued our first dog, he was a really big dog and we were living in a small little two-bedroom condo at the time, and we took one look at him and whatever toy they had given him, he had just like ripped all the stuffing out, so there was cotton everywhere. Mm-hmm. And he's this giant lab chow mix in the crate, and they're like, oh, just need him. And we said, well, we have a really small house, and they said, oh, you're young, you know, just walk him a lot, it'll be fine.
It sounds very handsome, lab chow.
He was very, very handsome. He was our first fur baby. And 2 hours later, we were driving home with our Tonka. And he actually was just the best dog. And we were lucky to have him. But yeah, I have a soft spot in my heart for all of those rescues, too.
Cute. Someone needs to take them home.
Exactly. They make life more fun, right?
Yes. Fun has like inverted commas around it sometimes, but...
Totally.
It's like loads of fun. Something to clean up. That's fun,
always, always something to do. So here at Let's Slow Down, we focus on living a simple, intentional life. And you seem to embody that so perfectly. You've made your passion your job, and you've incorporated your values into everything that you do. So to many of us, to all of us, that seems like a dream come true. Fiona, how did you make that happen? How did you do it?
Well, it took a while. It took, you know, time to find out what way I want to live. And I always knew that I was so bored working in an office. Like, and I thought, maybe I just need a different kind of job. Do I need to go into sales or something? But I think the reason why I keep, like, use the word intentional, which I really like at the moment. And the reason why I intentionally try and keep my life simple, but still have it be beautiful, like not have it just be empty and sterile, is because my mind is so busy. And that's really the driving force behind me, always simplifying, always trying to keep things calm and lovely. And as you get older, you realize, well, you just get the one life, and, you know, well past it, well past the halfway mark. And so how do you want to live it? Take a chance, do something different, and just, I don't know, have the guts to do something that might be foolhardy. I mean, I'm pretty risk averse person. I'm pretty conservative. Like I don't know, risky investments or anything like that. And I wouldn't leave a job without another job. So it did take me, I waited a long time to build my income up with my books before I didn't work in an outside job. I don't really consider what I do working. So I feel like I don't work.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah. But it was 2015 when I took my blog that I was just pottering away on and enjoying writing about living a simple and beautiful French inspired life without spending a lot of money. Sort of always been what I'm about. And I saw other people self-publishing and it was becoming easier to do with Amazon. Like you didn't have to order 1,000 copies of your book and have it in your house and post it out to people and then find an error and think, I can't use these. Like you can, Amazon prints on demand and a big Amazon, maybe they're a big company. Maybe they're taking over a lot of things, but I've got Amazon to thank for my work from home lifestyle and the fact that I can upload a Kindle book one day and have my readers download it the next and they pay me every month for the books I've sold. So in print on demand if people want a paperback. And I just think that's awesome. Like, thank you, Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's something that anyone can do. There's no cost of entry. Like it costs you $0 to do it. Basically, you can choose to buy a book to learn it or a course or whatever, or little costs like having someone design a cover for you. But at its very simplest, you can design your own cover on Amazon. You can just write what you write about. You don't need to learn anything. So it's just, I think it's so cool that anyone can do it. And I'm here to tell you that you can. I'm here to be that cheerleader for you if you need it. And just think about, let's say 5 years down the track, because for me, it's 8 years down the track now, but I have been self-publishing and I haven't worked in a job since 2016. So that's, a wee while. And that's awesome. It's like being retired. Like, and you get to choose your own hours. I'm a real early bird. So I'd love to get up at 6 o'clock and write. And then I might have done 2 hours at a time. Everyone else is just getting to work. So equally, if you're a night owl, you could be writing from midnight till 3 if that's your thing. And you can't do a job like that. You can't choose I'm a night owl, so my office manager job, which is what I used to do, I'd like to work from 6 to 8 a.m. please. Like you just can't do that.
Right.
So that's a really cool thing as well. Yeah.
You use the word cultivating a lot, I notice, in your books. I've read about it a few times, and I love that word.
Yeah.
And that's truly what you're describing right now. You've cultivated your dream life. And it's amazing to see that happening in real time.
Yes. And it is really cool. I'm 53 now, so I'm a long way from, 65's retirement age in New Zealand. But I feel like I'm retired now. But also I just get to keep working. I don't need to stop writing at 65 either. I can just, lots of people write until, they die of old age. So that'll probably be me.
Perfect. Yeah. It's your purpose. You're
writing
you're doing,
from my retirement village.
You'll be making everyone there nice and chic and stylish. And it really is an inspiration. And thank you for writing these books. I know that, speaking for myself and a lot of my listeners, I have been letting a few people know that I was going to be talking to you and people were so excited. Just everyone has the nicest things to say about you and your books.
Aww.
And you're really adding a lot to the world. So thank you for doing that and sharing your gifts.
It's really nice to hear. Because it is a solitary pursuit. You're in your house.
Right.
Like I'm not one of those people that goes and writes at a cafe or it's too much effort for me. I'd rather just write at home and you can wear your pajamas if you want to.
Even better.
But yeah. But you get, it's nice to have social media because you can chat sort of to people and make quite, lovely friendships. And my reviews as well, I read my reviews because there's always something to learn with the not so good ones. And it's nice to have people say how a certain book has helped them or that kind of thing. So I don't feel alone, but you sort of are alone. So maybe that's perfect for people that just like their own space and real homebodies.
Sounds good to me. That sounds like my perfect job for sure. And your books are just so comforting. Like, you know, you said, oh, I could even be writing in my pajamas at home. It feels like when I read one of your books, I feel like I'm hanging out with a good friend. And it's just, it gives you all the good feels and you just have a way with words. They're very comforting. They're just very comforting and fun to read.
Thank you. I think I want to be inspirational and motivating, but like nice as well, like friendly, and also make something like you want to do it. I'm not pushing you to do it. Like, I'm not whipping you into shape. And for me, anything I want to do, I've said this before, has to be fun. It has to be enjoyable, whether it's losing weight because I've been eating too much, or tidying my house, or anything like that. It just needs to be enjoyable and fun. So I'll make it that way, and I'll keep on going, finding out the spark that's going to inspire me to do it effortlessly, whatever that thing is, or a goal. I'll keep going until I find that spark, and then I'll ride that wave as long as I can.
Yeah.
And then when that doesn't work, I'll find another one. And that's sort of probably what comes across on my books. Life doesn't have to be normal and ordinary, and a lot of people sort of feel like it should be a grind. And I mean, even when I went to, you know, 7:40, my bus left for the office, and I would take my Anne Barone Chic and Slim book on the bus, and I'd be like reading it, and this was like 20 plus years ago. And I was like, hey, get to work so inspired. And I'd have my like little salad that I'd made for lunch, and I'd buy a French piece of French bread to go with it that was fresh. And it was just, I don't know, you can make your fun anywhere. Like, people have said, oh, well, it's okay for you. You don't have kids, you know, you don't go to work. And that's totally true. I don't have kids because it didn't work out for us, you know, like make lemonade out of lemons.
Yep.
And I don't go to work anymore, but I used to go to work. And
you're also working. Like, you are doing work. It's not like you're sitting around doing nothing. I mean, you're working.
That's true. It doesn't really feel like work, though.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels like fun and play. And I do it 7 days a week because it's just fun. It's not like I work Monday to Friday, 9 to 1 or something. I don't even work that long but I don't count it as work. So I probably do work hours, but it's interspersed throughout the day. And so it does add up probably, but it doesn't feel like work.
And that's the key to a long life.
Yeah.
I was watching the Blue Zones on Netflix. And one of the common threads that they found in all these communities where they've had people live to be 100 and thrive at that age, one of the biggest things was that they all had a purpose and a job that they did every single day, that they felt like they were adding to society and being productive. Yeah. And that is exactly what you're describing here. And it's a missing link for so many of us, because that grind that you're talking about is, unfortunately, what most people relate to. That's where they're at.
And I know it does take up, like, work gets in the way and commute gets in the way of living life. Like, it takes up so much of our time. But we need to do it because we like money. And money helps, you know, buy stuff and buy a house and live in a house. And I know it's different in the US with your health insurance and that kind of thing. It's not like you can just opt out easily. So, you know, each country has their advantages and disadvantages, but I think there's some sort of overlying principles that can help us feel like at any stage of our life, even if, you know, maybe someone's got little children or something, like, have you feel like you're living your dream life? Like, I've followed blogs in the past of mums with young kids, and I see how they, you know, incorporate just moments of beauty and fun and play into their life. And they might not necessarily be rich and, you know, have a nanny, that kind of thing. So I think it's just like looking for it as well, like not just thinking, oh, well, this is how it's going to be for the next 5 years or next 10 years.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. It is everywhere. It's there. I think a lot of times we just have to slow down enough, whether it's in our mind or just physically or all of it, our calendars, just slow down enough to actually see it and feel it, because we're like usually just rushing
off the treadmill for a second.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to do. And I think the mindset is probably the number one thing to do to start to slow down. Like, if that's going real fast, then it's hard to do anything else, you know, with intention, or even get ahead of what you have to do every day for work and at home and the dishes and the dinner and everything like that. But I think you got to change it in your mind first and everything else can follow. And even just making the choice to slow down your movements and slow down your thoughts and breathe. I had been waking up at 2:30 in the morning in the last few months, like every morning 2:30, and then I couldn't get back to sleep. And so I just started, I don't do meditation because I can't sit still for that long. But I did do like the meditation thing where you just breathe and just like focus on your breath. And it worked. I couldn't believe it. I thought I could sleep easily. Now just do that. It's like, those things they all say to do, they really work.
They do. They do. But we have to remember to do them. And we have to, like you said, have that mindset to recognize like, okay, my thoughts are all over the place right now.
Yeah.
Take a minute.
And I'm really irritated and annoyed with my husband for no reason. It's like, oh, it's probably just me. Slow down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Do the holidays stress you out? Do you dread the to-do lists and busy calendar? Why not embrace the holiday spirit at a slower pace this year and sign up for my free 12 Days of Holiday Ease? These simple tips will help all to feel calm and all to feel bright, so you can do more of what matters this holiday season. Click the link in the show notes and sign up today.
So let's talk about your holiday book. This will be airing in November at some time. And
nice.
It gives us a nice runway to prepare and just to get our mindset figured out for the holiday season. And in the U.S., we have Thanksgiving in November also. So we have Thanksgiving. And then, of course, obviously the Christmas, New Year's, you know, all the holidays in December come. So your book, A Chic and Simple Christmas, has been very inspiring for me. And it's one that I now, I kind of make it a little holiday tradition of my own to read it before the holidays hit, just to help me get in that mindset, in that mind frame. So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, and just, it's also a good book to read at the beginning of the season because it's not like a big book. It's just a real quick to read book, which is, you know, I think a good thing because who needs another job to read a giant book each year?
Exactly. It's not homework.
Yeah. And it's like so little that you can probably read it in a few days if you really sat down or got into it or over the course of a week. And it's skinny enough to put in your bag to take with you, or put on your Kindle. But anyway, so I wrote it because I love Christmas. I really love the coziness, the cozy feeling of it. I love the music. I love the sort of aesthetic of Christmas. I love Christmas decorations. I love seeing them. I like putting them in my home, but I get a bit lazy because I'd rather just go and see them somewhere, but I do decorate my home. But it's like, oh, more jobs. And then you have to take it down again. It's like, oh.
So, and then you have to store it all year. That's the other part.
Yes. So, but there was parts of Christmas I didn't like as well. I didn't like the gift giving so much because there was a lot of pressure and, excuse my dog's barking, there was a lot of pressure. I don't know. I think as families get bigger, like when you get married and take on another family as well, and then people, cousins have children and it just spreads out. And so you have to make difficult decisions of like reining it into like immediate family or, you know, who you're going to swap gifts with, because it just becomes pressure on everybody. And I don't like to be an obligation to people. I don't want to be the cause of someone's stress if they're thinking, oh, we're swapping a $50 gift. What am I going to get Fiona? I don't know. Like, I'm busy. I've got stuff to do. I don't know what she like, you know, and then you worry that you've got the wrong thing. And I just think it's good for kids. Like, you know, it's fun to shop for kids because you know what they like, or you can ask their parents and it's fun to watch them unwrap it. But adult gift giving just got a little bit heavy for me. And so that was something that I identified that stressed me out about Christmas. So I basically listed all the things I loved about Christmas and all the things I didn't like about Christmas and worked out what I was going to do about the things that I didn't like and how I could manage them and how I could do more of the things I did like. So this book is sort of sharing with everybody how they can do the same and just tips that I had come across and worked out for myself that really made Christmas a fun time again, because no one wants to go into Christmas stressed out, resentful, having petty squabbles with family members, and then ending up not doing anything that you wanted to do as well. Like when we used to live in the city, I used to like going to the street that was decorated. There was one street that all the residents decorated it. And my husband would groan every year. It's like, oh, it'll just be the same as last year. I know, but I like it. And so I thought, well, I really do like that. So I'm just going to make him do it. It's like one night. So we would go and he'd go for me. And just things like that, that I might think, oh, he always pulls a face when I want to go to that Christmas street. So I won't ask him, you know, I won't say anything about it this year. But then I'm like, I really want to go. And I would sort of feel a bit grumpy about it. So it's just things like that, that you identify what you like to do and do it. Work out the rest.
Yeah. And that does help. And I think that's the intentional piece, right? Like going into the holidays thinking, okay, these are the things that I definitely want to make happen. These are the things that I really don't want to happen, or maybe I don't care about those as much. Like they can drop off the wayside a bit.
Yeah.
That helps. It helps to see it. I like writing stuff down and then I can kind of work it out on paper, get it out of my head, because what you're saying resonates with everybody. I mean, especially as we get older, like you said, there's more family, there's more extended family, and it gets complicated, and that can make it stressful and it can take some of the fun out of a time that really is supposed to be light and enjoyable and happy. And
totally. So it's what all the Christmas on TV looks like.
I know.
I know. And movies. Like I was saying about a movie, I was watching a bit of The Family Stone the other day, and I said about it to my mum, and she says, oh, yeah, those movies are great. No one has to cook. Food just appears on the table.
Yep. No one cleans
up. Like, stuff's whisked away. It looks so easy.
You were talking about choosing what a chic Christmas season feels like for you. Think about that ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So what's it looking like for you this year?
This year, it's going to be really summery and easy because we haven't had a good summer the last 2 to 3 summers. We've had really, really bad summers. And then we had this massive cyclone at the end of last summer, which devastated our region. So it's like we are due for a good summer because it's summer at Christmas here in the Southern Hemisphere. So it's going to be summery and fun and light. I'm not hosting this year. I thought I was, but I'm not. And I think that's another thing too, which I haven't really written about in the book because it wasn't part of my thing at the time. But as your parents get older, you want to take some of the things off their plate. Like, because I'm in, you know, in my early 50s. So my mum's in her 70s and my auntie. And it's really nice to be the host and take it off their plate. My auntie actually is hosting this year because she's got a lot of family coming back from overseas. So I'm joining in theirs. But other years, like we've had one year, we had everyone on both sides of the family, and we had 24 people for Christmas, and I had never done anything like that before, and it was so much fun. And I think, well, now I'm the parent's age. Like, you know, when I was younger, I was the kid, and then was your parents, and then your grandparents, and now I'm the parents, and my parents are the grandparents, and I've got nieces and nephews. So like, we get to be the ones that do a bit more of the work, and I actually don't mind that. I really enjoy hosting, so I'm not hosting the Christmas this year, like I said, but maybe I can do a secret something as well. Yeah.
And help out your auntie because she's older, and I'm sure you'll be bringing lots of stuff for her celebration probably.
Yeah. Exactly. Of course, everyone takes something along, what they're good at. Yeah.
That sounds really nice. You talk a lot about preparing, and one tip that I took, you gave a lot of really good tips about preparing for the holidays. But one was to clear all non-essentials from December. And that one, I think that one is gold. And it hit me. Yeah. It's so simple. But I don't know. I had never thought about it before. And the last time I was at the dentist, you know, they schedule it every 6 months. And they were about to schedule me for December. And I was like, nope, can't come in December. Bumped it. Gonna go later. Because I don't need to add these things that don't have to happen then in an already very busy month.
For sure. There was one, I think our warrant of fitness was due, like you said about your dentist, it was due at the end of December. And what a terrible time, like on our car, it's like a thing you have to do every 6 months on your car, like to make sure it's roadworthy. And so I did it purposely earlier month and did it in November. And it really does make a difference because December is quite short, really, when you think about the fact that Christmas is 3 and a bit weeks in. So you don't have a full month, and it's just so much to do. And it would be nice to think you could have a little pocket of ease in the month,
It really would.
So maybe if we enjoy it.
Yes. I know, like the song, like Silent Night. I'm like, when did the silent nights come? I want the silent night and all is calm.
Yeah, it's after Christmas when you're like, the bubbles burst and you're like, oh, it's all over. And then there's a silent night and you're going, burr, burr, like the party whistle.
Exactly. It's definitely a lot. Just thinking about all of this ahead of the time can make a big difference in the long run. And I know we talked a little bit about the shopping. I'm with you. I am very, very much, I'm not a fan of clutter. I'm kind of on the side of a minimalist, if I had to label myself something. And I just don't love stuff. It stresses me out. And like you said, then you feel guilty about people having to buy for you. And I do have kids and it is about the kids, but they also don't need, they don't need a ton of stuff. You know, I feel like everybody gets all worked up about it and spends all this extra money and time for all these gifts. And it's so hyped up and it's fun to a point, but keeping things simple, like maybe one gift for the kids, you know, all the aunts and uncles and things, doesn't have to be so much of everything because it can be too much.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's, I don't know, when there's too much, it's overwhelming. You can see it when children have just too many options.
Then they don't really enjoy it either.
Yeah. And another thing that goes along with the preparing and clearing the decks before December is to declutter as well, like in October or November, maybe just have like a pass through your home and do a little bit of a mini declutter in turn, because there are going to be new things coming in, because I like to self-gift. I love buying myself presents. And I think it would be better if everyone just bought their own presents and said, look what I got. And you go, that's awesome. And everyone's so happy with what they've got. Could be too.
With my husband sometimes. I'm like, oh, this is my Christmas present right here.
Yeah. Smart. Because then he doesn't have to stress out about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you don't want people to waste their money, like you talked about, not wanting clutter. And it's like, someone gives you something, they had good intentions and it costs them money, but you just don't want it. Like, you keep looking for a place to put it and it doesn't go anywhere. And I don't really have that anymore because I've trained everybody not to swap presents. But, and also I think with the few presents that do get bought, often you can, because you're not buying for so many people, you can snoop around a bit and see what they are looking for or notice what they need, or like a newer version of something favorite that's completely worn out, that kind of thing. But it's definitely good to get rid of a few things or just have a bit of a clean up and a tidy up and an organize before Christmas, so that when new things do come in, it's not overwhelming and you don't feel completely overwhelmed by clutter because you have got space to put new things and kids' toys as well. Maybe with children you can, because I think people do shop at charity stores for Christmas. So imagine
when your
children
in
October, say, or November when this comes out, to say, do we have any toys that we aren't playing with anymore that we can give to kids that don't have any toys? And then you can clear out the toys for all the new toys to come in, or ones that have outgrown.
Agreed. I think that it's a perfect time for decluttering. I generally like to do a pretty big declutter at all the change of seasons, because I feel like that's a good time. Okay, what did we, you know, maybe we didn't use it so much this season. So what's the likelihood that we're going to hang on to it for a year? Are we going to even use it next year if we didn't use it this year? So, you know, just get rid of it rather than store it for another year. And that's helped me.
Not use it again next year.
Yeah. And that's helped me with the Christmas decorations and the holiday decorations, for every holiday, to think, okay, like before buying it, maybe I really like that and I could see it being really fun for whatever holiday, you know, we're talking about Christmas, whatever holiday it is, that this applies to all of them. But then you have to put it somewhere for the rest of the year. And that has helped me so many times, just appreciate it for what it is in the store. Or you mentioned, go to that street that is so beautifully decorated. There's other ways to enjoy these festive, you know, decor and things. It doesn't necessarily all have to be in your home and then in your attic for the whole year.
Yeah. The appreciation thing is huge. When I first came across that concept quite a long time ago, I thought it was the best thing ever. Like, because I would see things in a shop, whether it was a bangle or a top or a candle or a book, all the pretty things that you see when you're out shopping in your lunch break. And I would buy it because I liked it. And I think, well, I can always use another top, whatever. But then I sort of realized, I've got too much stuff in my house and decluttering seems such a waste of money. I've just bought stuff. And so learning to appreciate something in a store and not necessarily buying it was, yeah, that was quite revolutionary for me.
Me too. Me too. It really helps keep that in the back of your mind when you're tempted. Yeah, sometimes you need to buy stuff, but a lot of times we don't. We just like it and then we, you know, bring
it home. Might be just that you love that color that it is, but you know you've got to top that color. So you can think, I'm going to wear that tomorrow. I'm going to make sure it's pressed and ironed and I'll wear it.
Exactly. Appreciate what you have more. As we wind up the holiday section, because I want to ask you a few more things that, you know, are just about general life. Do you have a favorite holiday tradition that's a non-negotiable for you that you want to make happen every year?
I mean, it's just the little things for me. I love Christmas movies and really hokey Hallmark Christmas movies on Netflix. I really like those.
They're the best.
I like watch new ones every year. Yeah. Those two-dimensional movies where everyone's lovely. And I rewatch Christmas movies, like more contemporary ones. Than the real old classics. I love Christmas music. I could play Christmas music all year round. And I play the background Christmas music, like the YouTube type one, when I'm at home writing, because you don't really want like someone singing a song with a voice when you're doing your writing. You need sort of instrumental music. But I do anyway. I really enjoy that. And I've got a couple of, I really like Starbucks, but not going to Starbucks. Like,
The
ambiance of Starbucks, but they're really expensive for what they are. And the Starbucks here is tiny and not very exciting at all. Like it's a really, I think it's the worst Starbucks in the world. It's just this tiny little dusty box with a Starbucks counter.
Less tempting.
Less tempting. So I have got a couple of Starbucks mugs. One I bought from a thrift store. It was like brand new for $2. I went, oh, that's pretty. I really like Starbucks. And now I have 5 Starbucks mugs, different ones. So I may have a collection, but I'm very, very picky about them. So I make my own fave Starbucks at home, but I do use my Starbucks capsules and my Nespresso. So it is a real Starbucks, I guess. And so I love making my Starbucks coffee at home. Yeah, so it's just those little things that make you feel good.
And
I like candles as well, like Christmassy candles, like ones that smell Christmassy. And if it's got a pretty jar, I'll keep it when I've used up the candle, if it's a red one or a sparkly one, that kind of thing. So I have a little cluster of sort of red candle holders that I've just put a tea light in each one to make a little Christmassy tableau. But more during the day, I like the scented candles for myself. So candles as well. So yeah, I mean, I'm such a homebody, you know, all of my things are based around staying at home.
Well, you know myself. What? I am too. Everything you described just makes it feel like Christmas, like cozy.
And, yeah.
And
yeah, cozy.
That's what Christmas is all about. So those are great. And those are things we can do all the
envious.
Time.
Yeah. Yes. I know. I do those things pretty much all year round, even sometimes the Christmas music. And here it's spring going into summer. So it's not so cozy. We can't wrap up in a rug and have a hot cocoa. But I've started thinking about cozy spring for myself to be able to enjoy the holiday elements, but make it appropriate for our season and not be, you know, I don't want to like put fake snow on the windows or anything like that. So,
yeah, definitely different than it is over here. But this weather can be so crazy. It's so weird. A couple of years ago, it was like 70 degrees on Christmas Eve here. So,
yeah, wow. Yeah.
That would be the same. Exactly.
Yeah. And we've lit the fire the day after Christmas before, like in the house we live in now, but we've only been here 6-7 years. We had the fire going because it was so cold. We lit the fire the day after Christmas. It's like, now we've got a cozy Christmas.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you never know, right? That the weather is, the weather keeps us guessing.
Definitely does.
So a couple more things before we finish up today. I like to ask people about morning routines. And you had mentioned that you're an early bird. You like to get some writing in. Do you have a morning routine that you follow pretty regularly?
I do. And it's not something that I wrote out and designed. It's just something that developed over the past while. And I really, really like it. And I sort of have to make sure I do it in the exact order and as quick as I can, which doesn't sound very relaxing, but it still is. Otherwise, my day doesn't go well. So, not that it doesn't go well. It goes way better and I'm really happy if I do my morning routine as I know it works well. So I get up at 6 usually and I go to my office and I have a cup of tea delivered to me by my husband before he goes to work.
Very nice.
He goes to the gym before work. So he goes real early. So he's like, what a good boy. He makes me a cup of tea before he leaves the house. It's quarter past 6. And it's my giant tea cup. It's like, it's half a litre, which is 500 mils, which I don't know what that is in ounces, maybe 25 ounces or something. That's a lot.
So you have a bowl of tea.
I do. It's, yeah. But I still don't use like the one tea bag. I don't have a rule. It just makes it strong enough for me. So it's like a giant cup, a bowl of tea. And I do some pottering around with my writing and my ideas and that kind of thing. And then I read somewhere about between 7 and 9 is the best time to do your exercise, like for your body. So I thought, okay, that's good because I need to do it in the early in the day. Otherwise, I just won't do it. You know, you get early, you put it on.
Sorry.
You get busy, you put it off. And then it's like 4 or 5 o'clock and you go, oh, I'm not doing it now. I'll do it tomorrow. That's me. So I've set my alarm on my phone for 7 o'clock and it says, go do your exercise, sexy skinny girl. That's what my alarm says. And so I go on the treadmill. If I'm really like motivated, I'll do an hour. Like that's my ideal on the treadmill. And I watch a TV program or a movie. And then after that, I take the dogs for a quick walk and I feed them breakfast. And then after that, I do, and it's like a 5-10 minute walk. It's just a quick morning walk. And they go for another one in the afternoon. After that, I do my Pilates class. That's a new thing that I've been getting into the habit of doing. And I do it with Move with Nicole on YouTube. And she is awesome. Like, she's so nice. And she's got tons of different classes. And they're like different levels. And there's always, like, I haven't repeated one yet. I've been doing it maybe 3 months. And so it's getting slowly to be a habit. And I feel really good after I've done it. Like, I knew I should have been doing strength work, resistance training. Got to do it when you get older. Got to have strong bones. Oh, I don't want to do weight. I don't want to do resistance training. I just want to go for a walk. And then after I do her class, I just feel really like so good. It must be those endorphins or something. So, and then I have my smoothie and then I have my shower and get dressed. So if all of that happens by about 9 o'clock, I'm happy. So that's my morning routine. And yeah, it just is really good if I do all of those things. And if I let it like time slide out and like I don't get on the treadmill till 10 o'clock, say, and that means I don't have my breakfast till 11:30, like it just is better if I do everything earlier. Cause then if someone rings and it's like, oh, do you want to go meet for lunch? It's like, you're not scrambling. Like that's the worst thing. But I do that quite regularly. Like scramble, but I'm learning not to because it's much more peaceful not to.
Yeah, but you're human, so we have to still all give ourselves the grace to know that we're totally human. Just a
we
reminder
are human, but also I know I can just like sit there on my computer for a long time, you know, and I don't want to have my smoothie for breakfast before I have do my exercise, because then you don't feel like doing it if you've got a full stomach, and it's better to do it in an empty stomach anyway. So I sort of need to get going and doing it. And so that's why I set my alarm for 7 o'clock to get me off my bum and get onto the treadmill. Yeah. And it's like exciting too, because like I watched the Kardashians today. I've got terrible taste in TV. But, you know, I find them quite motivating. Like they're always glamorous. They always work hard and, you know, do all their different businesses. So it's like if I've got a series or a movie I'm looking forward to, then it's like no hardship to get on the treadmill. So I'm pretty lucky, really.
So that you really hold true to that. You make everything, you add an element of fun into everything that you do. You know, you don't want to be on the treadmill, but you're going to make it fun. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is enjoyable when you're doing it. Like, you know, you feel good. But if I'm just staring at nothing, what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got this cheap little TV to put in front of it. Yeah.
And it does, the morning routine does set the tone for the day. I think it's that mindset piece again. It just sets everything up to be a good day. So
yeah
it's helpful.
And just doing things as early as possible, because I don't have as much energy in the afternoon. Like it's not that I feel tired, it's just probably lazy. So just don't want to do stuff, you know, like the more I can do before lunch, the better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. And when I was reading your bio earlier, I know you had mentioned self-development books, and I'm a huge fan of self-development books too. I love them, kind of, you know, all the nonfiction stuff. There's just so much to learn. So I'm so fascinated just read all things in all different areas. Do you have any that are your favorite or that you recommend, or even a documentary?
I often just read them once. Books, so it's just whatever I'm reading at the time. But ones that I have read over and over are Rhonda Byrne's books, The Secret Books. And it's not that I'm particularly into the woo-woo manifesting, like I'm quite practical, but I listen to the audiobooks of hers. I've got all the audiobooks on my phone, and they're just so relaxing for me. I just really love the way she speaks and the message she has, and I just always feel better. Like if I'm feeling really down or just flat or grumpy, I just put on, like, I put all of her books into one playlist and just play a random track and just let, you know, my Rhonda Byrne radio, and I just listen to a little bit and I just instantly feel better. So she's probably my number one of feel good. I really love Brian Tracy. I've listened to him and read his books since I was 20, like 30 plus years, because he's just, I really, really like him. And why do I like Brian? He is very calming to listen to on the audiobooks or YouTube videos. There's tons of YouTube videos you can listen to him for free. He's very practical and he's got very simple messages, I think. Very simple messages that just, on any whatever topic you choose to listen to of his. One I listening to at the moment, I'm only partway through the audiobook from the library. I love the library. Is called Unreasonable Hospitality. And I was recommended that by, it may have been the Minimal Mom YouTube. So I put it on my library list and it came in. And that's about like restaurant management. But even in that, it's got lots of things that you can apply to your own life. Like there was the 95-5 rule. And basically he said they keep an eye on costs really strictly in the restaurant 95% of the time. So they can spend 5% foolishly. And that was the word he used. And I thought, oh, that's such a neat thing for like your household budget, or even like my husband said, what you eat as well, like your diet. Like if you are quite strict 95% of the time, you can really have a blowout, you know, but it won't affect the bottom line. Like you still stay in profit. That was to do with the restaurant. So that was really cool. In documentaries, one that comes to mind is the Very Real one that's on one of the streaming channels we've got, about Ralph Lauren. And I always am really inspired by him. Like I just got his newest book sent over from Amazon. I think it's called A Way of Living. His newest book just came out in October this year. And I really like that he is a dreamer as well. I like his personal style too. Like my home style, I always say, is Ralph Lauren on a budget. I sort of use his ideas, and I've got one or two pieces of his, small things like a tray or some dinner napkins. I sort of build the look around his style. And it's sort of, I cross Ralph Lauren with a French chateau, and it's all on a budget. That's sort of my home style. And I'm adding in a few sort of modern touches because I sort of wanted to make it a bit more sexy and sparkly as well. So I really like the Very Ralph documentary because I like to read sort of biographies of people that interest me. And that's sort of like a biography about him. Yeah, and I've got biographies of him as well in the book.
I'm going to definitely check those out. I have not read any of his books, but all of those books sound interesting.
They're very cool. And the lovely pictures. Yeah. He's always been a dreamer. He got his inspiration from the movies when he was younger, and that sounds really cool. Like like the book's a lot of pictures, but it's got his words written throughout it. So it's really cool as well.
I think we could all use some encouragement to be a little bit more of a dreamer and just find the fun and the beauty in life and not feel so part of the rat race all the time and tied down to all of our commitments and the to-dos, you know? It's just lighten things up. That's what you've been saying the whole time, and that's really how you live your life. And why not? It's more fun. We don't have to make everything hard.
It's fun police. Yeah.
Exactly.
The family member, my mother-in-law, she's very practical. She's 100 100% practical and 0% frilly. And she's very, very practical and always likes to see the realistic side of things. And once she said to me, I think it was about expecting good things to happen and the positive, you know, looking at the positive side of life. And she goes, well, you're only deluding yourself. And it was the funniest thing. And it's like family folklore now, heard that quote from her. Oh, you're only deluding yourself. And I thought, yes, I am. I like that. Like, it feels good and it's fun and I'm not hurting anybody and it makes life better. So like, yes. You know, there's no downside.
Yes. Those are great words to leave our audience with today. Just go have fun. Live your life. Don't make it so hard. Just enjoy
it. Yourself be nice.
Fiona, thanks so much for coming on today. We talked about a lot of things, a lot of books, you know, your books and some of these other ones you just mentioned. I'll put everything in the show notes. And Fiona also has a really great blog and she has a ton of books on Amazon. So I'll link everything there so that everyone can find you because they will be looking for you after this.
Anne-Marie, thank you for a fun chat. I really enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. And I hope it's not too boring for your listeners.
Not at all. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for being here today.
Cool. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and have been inspired to slow down and start living life at your own pace. As a brand new podcast, your listener voice matters. If Let's Slow Down is resonating with you, please take a minute to leave a review and rate us. Subscribe to the show wherever you listen and share it with friends. Remember, this is a process, so go easy on yourself. Be gentle and take all the space you need to thrive because the world needs you to be at your best, to love and serve others and yourself.